Hello, and welcome to the OneTrust Talks Tech podcast. This is episode number 51, recorded on September 3rd, 2024. My name is Roger Dean, and I work on the product team here at OneTrust and the host of this podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk to Alex Holding from the product team about the general availability release of the sandbox feature in the 2024.08.1.0 release. As always, just a quick reminder that this podcast reflects OneTrust's current expectations for product capabilities. Be advised that dates and features may be subject to change and should not be relied upon when making purchasing decisions. All right, so now I'd like to welcome to the podcast Alex Holding, who's a product manager here at OneTrust and kind of my cohort in crime with a lot of things. We've been working on stuff together, so great guy. Welcome to the podcast, Alex.
Yep. Thanks, Roger. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome. So welcome, and thanks for coming on. So we have just released the sandbox feature as general availability to everyone in the 8.1 release. Maybe give us a background on, for those who don't know, what is the sandbox functionality that we've introduced and maybe a little bit about what it does?
Sure. Here's really a breakdown of what the user can really expect. So right now, the sandbox functionality is generally available for all shared production environments. Essentially, this is just the ability to create a sandbox in it with a partial copy of production's data. The only data in this partial copy would be configuration data like workflows, web forms, templates, routing rules, automation rules, et cetera.
So what won't get copied? Is that's like sure. Responses to assessments and things like that that's actually got?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Basically, essentially no transactional data at this point in time. So like your DSAR requests, your inventory records, your data subject profiles, yes. And then, of course, assessment responses.
Yeah, okay. And what about users? What about like admin OneTrust users?
Yeah, we'll copy down all your configurations from global settings. So that includes your users, any custom roles you've set up, your user groups. We would copy all that down into the sandbox instance.
Is everyone active when that happens, or how does that work?
So we don't make everyone active. We will copy all your users, but you will have to reactivate those users inside of the sandbox instance.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. You don't want everyone in there messing things up when you make the
exactly.
copy.
Yeah,
okay.
Very exclusive access to the sandbox.
Got it. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you. So we were talking about what it is. So people can take what they've got, and why would we want to do this? I know we have UAT environments, and now we've got this. Like, why do we want to do this for our customers?
Sure. One thing with sandboxes is that we stay on the same release versions as production, meaning the environments will always be the same. I'm testing on the same sort of features that OneTrust has released. It's all available kind of at the same time, where previously UAT maybe is on a different release version and I'm testing in that version and my prod instance is different on a different version. So maybe I'm testing on an out-of-date version of OneTrust, which is not desired. Another thing is since we are copying to just a sandbox tenant, it's in the same environment, we actually maintain the same GUID and object IDs in the sandbox tenant as production, making that import process or import-export process way more seamless, where users were having to create these import templates when using UAT tenants, and then they try to import them in the prod. Then there's a lot of mapping failures because the object IDs are different. It can get pretty complicated and messy pretty fast. So that would make this process already makes it the import export more seamless.
That makes sense. Makes sense.
Yes.
So will this? What would you envision a customer using this for? I envision it like I want to test out some new features, or I want to test out something. I don't want to interrupt my workflow with my production environment or risk screwing something up in there. So I would make a sandbox of my production environment, and then I would go in there and I would make some do my tests and figure out if it would work or not, and then go back to my production and implement it. Or with our feature flags and all that with public preview, I'll maybe make a do a sandbox and then go in and turn on some of these public preview features just to see how they worked before I did it in production.
Exactly. There's no compromising prod. You know, I can test features now in a sandbox on my production, like current configs. I don't have to spend all this time now keeping UAT up to date to mirror production. And that can be really challenging for our customers. So we make it super seamless where they can create a new sandbox tenant in a matter of minutes now. And you'll always kind of have this mirror image of production's configuration data and objects. I don't need to rearrange anything. It will just be very seamless. Like if I want to test a new assessment template or modify an existing one to see how it behaves, I can simply just copy that template data down into the sandbox, modify something, see if it works, and then I would have to re-replicate that work in prod at this time. But it makes it more seamless where I don't need to just go stand up and stage UAT just to even, test something.
Right. Makes sense. Yes. So what are the functionalities that are offered with this? I know you can create. What else can you do?
Yeah, you can create the sandbox. You can also refresh the sandbox to make sure you're always using a fresh copy of production's configuration data. So, I want to make sure just in case, my sandbox is like become stale and, it's no longer applicable for testing. I want to make sure I can always obtain a fresh copy of production. So I can do that and I'm not limited on the amount of refreshes. I can refresh as many times as I want. So that kind of keeps it up to date.
Let me ask you a question about that. So if I've gone in and I've create a sandbox and maybe I've turned on some roadmap features or I've made some changes, added a few things, and I do a refresh. Is it going to overwrite all the stuff I've done in the sandbox with currently what's in? It doesn't do like a merge of the two. It'll basically overwrite with what's in production. And so any of the things I may have done in the sandbox since I created it will be gone.
Yeah, it's a great question. Yes. When you do refresh a sandbox tenant, we would kind of purge the data in that sandbox and just really overwrite it with prod's new data that would be pulled in to the sandbox.
That makes sense. I mean, I don't see how else you could do that, but that I just wanted to clarify that. I had not asked that before. So,
yes.
Okay, so we got create, we got refresh. What about deleting? I mean, does it make sense to actually delete the sandbox? I guess it would eventually.
Yeah, in some cases, like customers just want to wipe a sandbox or delete it. Maybe it's not in use anymore. They don't need it anymore. We do let customers, schedule the sandbox for deletion. In that deletion process, you can't, access the sandbox anymore. It's in a disabled state. In that period of 5 days where we would keep the sandbox disabled, you would likely become notified that, hey, no, I can't access this anymore, in case you found out like someone's still using it, and trying to update configurations or do some testing. You would find out, hopefully in the 5 day window, that someone would need that access to that. After the 5 day disabled period, we'll have that deletion, go into effect, where that sandbox will be not only the data and its purge, but we're deleting the whole instance itself.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So in that case, if you created a sandbox, you gave access to 50 of the 20 of the users that are admins or whatever, they're doing stuff in there. And then at some point you decide you want to delete it, but maybe two or three of those guys are still working. You would set it for deletion and they would try and log in. They couldn't log in. And it'd be up to them to notify you, say, hey, I'm still using this. And then you can revoke that deletion at that point and let them continue to do their thing.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. They can revoke the deletion from the UI itself. They don't need to contact OneTrust. It's all in the hands of the user.
Right.
I said
you, not meaning you personally, you being the guy that created the sandbox, I guess. I should have clarified that a little bit. Yeah, you're going to be getting a bunch of phone calls, Alex. You say, can turn mine on? Turn my thing off.
Yeah, yeah.
That would not be good.
Turn the lights back on.
Turn the lights back on, please. Yeah. Okay, so we've got all that. Now, let's talk a little bit about the business aspect of this. Who can do this? Which of our customers can? And is there a cost associated with it?
So we are saying right now only site admins will have the ability to create the sandboxes from the parent or production tenant. You know, upon that sandbox, you know, being created, it would only, you know, be the site admin that can, you know, access that sandbox itself and, you know, manage it. They can add users as they see fit to that sandbox. That's really how the access part would work. Now, like, accessing the sandbox as a whole, like, how do I get my hands on it? Like, who, you know, what accounts can get sandboxes? So what we've decided on is four accounts annually spending $40,000 and above with OneTrust. Those accounts will be entitled to one free sandbox. You know, as I previously mentioned, you know, we've made like one free sandbox available to shared app environments. Like with the rollout I was mentioning, it's available for all shared app environments. You can find this sandbox in global settings and general settings, and then you'll see a tab called Sandbox Management from your production instance. From there, you'll actually create the sandbox and initiate it in that sandbox management section. So to touch a little bit more back on the pricing part, like customers that don't have 40,000 and above account spending with OneTrust can purchase a sandbox for $9,000. You know, this goes for any new sandbox the customer would like to create. Really, if they would like multiple sandboxes, the cost will be $9,000 per sandbox.
Per sandbox. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth stating that from the back end side, there's a significant amount of infrastructure that costs us money. So we're hosting all of our stuff in Microsoft Azure, and as we add additional tenants to an environment, there's databases that need to be added. There's all kinds of services that need to be spun up because of each tenant's got its own, all of its, you know, kind of personal data or sensitive information for that tenant is firewalled off from everything else. So it's not like we're sharing a ton of resources. So there is a cost to us spinning up a new tenant, and that's why there is that cost of $9,000, I think, per sandbox above and beyond that first initial one if you spend $40,000 or more with us above. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
And you can have as many as you want, but you just have to be willing to pay the additional $9,000 for additional sandboxes, correct?
Correct. Exactly right. Okay. Yes.
Okay. And how does one go about, you know, if I want to buy one? I assume that's through the normal sales process at this point.
Yeah, through our normal sales process, we have made it a little bit more seamless in the sandbox management section itself, where you can actually contact sales once you've reached your licensing limit. This will, you know, just streamline more to our sales team in a quicker amount of time.
Got it. Yeah.
But yes, it would be a standard, you know, order form process, correct?
Makes sense. A question I get a lot is, why would I do this over doing a UAT? And it's self-evident to me, but maybe I'd like to get your thoughts on, like, why would you do this? Why would you use a sandbox instead of using a UAT?
Yeah, UAT, I'll say most of the use cases, like, now that we have sandboxes, will tend to be towards, like, load and bulk testing with, like, higher data volume. With that said, sandbox can do some of that. You know, if you submit a scale request, say if you need to do like a large import or like a large job inside your tenant that's going to require a bunch of, you know, calls to the database. We would just need to know about it in advance to help you scale that tenant. Another reason why, I mean, UAT is just very, very manual to set up and keep it staged properly to, you know, make sure like it's valid for testing against, you know, production. It just, a lot of effort just goes into just keeping it up to date.
Yeah, it takes a long time to spin one up, and it takes a long time to update them. And also, there's a significant cost with each one as well. The UATs are not free as well. So,
yeah, they're not free. In fact, they're more expensive.
More expensive, yeah.
Yeah, and then so, and it's just, it's going to take less time to set up the sandbox. Customers will be able to, you know, really reduce operating time dramatically and reduce the need to contact, you know, our professional services seem to have tenant copied to, you know, from production, the UAT. We're hoping a lot of those requests reduce overall as well with this.
For sure. Absolutely. Last question. Since we've launched this as GA, have you seen a significant or any number of people taking advantage of it?
Yeah, it's, you know, we're into the hundreds now.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, for customers using it so far. So we're happy with, you know, some of the volume there. We expect it to increase as we've rolled out that one free sandbox to 40,000 and above account spending. So we expect the numbers to, you know, increase slightly.
Yep.
And we have a lot of, you know, traffic on our community pages too, it looks like. So happy to see that.
That's really great. Cool. I know I interrupted you a bunch of times. Sorry. Any closing thoughts or anything that you didn't cover that you wanted to?
I think that's mostly it. That's the gist. But I mean, maybe just touch on what's up next for sandboxes.
Oh yeah, good. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask.
Sure. Yes. Sure. Yeah. Just to keep everyone excited, we're still working on this, trying to make sandboxes better, more usable. More specifically, we're really just trying to nail down the right change management concepts of, you know, creating, let's say, just an outbound change request in a sandbox and applying those as inbound change requests to production with the right controls in place. So like an example, you know, we found some controls that might be needed are approvals or rejections or possible, you know, deployment failures to make sure I'm not, you know, releasing breaking changes into production. We want to make sure customers are comfortable with the changes they're deploying. So we're kind of exploring right now how all that might work. To drill even more down, we're starting first with our integrations module for promotion, where users will be able to promote an integration connection from their sandbox to production. More to come there as we ramp up, I think, this capability for private preview. Obviously, you know, if anyone would like to provide feedback on that process or the feature itself, just please reach out. You know, we'd be super happy to talk to you, get your feedback on, you know, some of the designs, you know, we're building and, you know, but some of your requirements might be. We're happy to talk to you.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So you can email podcast@onetrust.com or I assume reach out to your customer success manager or OneTrust contact to get in touch with Alex and team to get that feedback. I assume we're looking for customers to private preview that sandbox to production copy for integrations at this point, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. That'd be great. If you're interested in testing that out or you're a big integrations user and this sounds very interesting to you where you can test your integrations in a sandbox that doesn't affect production and then see what kind of controls there are about promoting that to production, please let us know and we'll be happy to get you set up for that so you can test that out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Alex, thank you so much for all this great information. Appreciate you coming on. This is awesome. Looking forward to it. And hopefully we'll see a lot more traffic on the sandbox side.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for having me on here and looking forward to hopefully jumping back on soon in the future to discuss, you know, updates.
Additional updates. Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Roger.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Special thanks to Alex Holding for joining us. Again, if you're interested in participating in that private preview for the sandbox copy from sandbox copy from sandbox to production, please let us know and we'll get you involved in that. If you have any questions, feedback, comments, please email us at podcast@onetrust.com. Next week, I'll be going over the 2024.09.1.0 release, and then we'll see what happens after that. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.